Welcome back to Yang Daily. We've got big news on both UBI stimulus and the primary race as the markets continue to roil. Let's dig in. Starting off with great news, Andrew made the case on CNN that Trump is going to suffer in the election if he doesn't implement a solution for the economic crisis that helps all citizens, including those who have to stay home due to illness or who are laid off in the downturn. He said that payroll taxes wouldn't cut it, and the best solution would be putting cash directly into people's hands, to which the other commentators cheerily chimed in, saying that sounded familiar. Yang cleverly introduced it as Obama admin James Furman's suggestion so that it didn't sound entirely like he was giving a stump speech. The more he and we can do to get this argument into Trump's head, that giving direct cash relief to citizens is the best thing he can do for re-election, the better. Derek Thompson of The Atlantic also wrote an article championing UBI stimulus, arguing it is needed to help those whose hours or opportunities have been cut and to prevent a collapse of consumer spending, particularly in the service and tourist industries, which are hardest hit. He also argued that a payroll tax cut would be inferior because it would mostly benefit those who need it least, upper middle class workers who have more in savings and many of whom can work remotely. He also argues for paid sick leave and expanded unemployment insurance for obvious reasons. The Washington Post reported that a White House official told them energy sector allies have been petitioning the administration not to pass any sweeping paid leave relief. Isn't this just the icing on the cake? The oil industry, propped up by massive government subsidies, which they've largely used to run disinformation campaigns against climate change, has had their profits gutted, partially by coronavirus, but mostly due to their current infighting over blatant anti-competitive price fixing, and they expect a bailout while simultaneously barring similar relief for their employees. If this were a novel, people would criticize the villain as being too blatantly evil to be believable. Where's the character depth? Moving on, in a rather shocking turn of events, at least for me, Yang came out and endorsed Biden today. This caught me about as flat-footed as the suspension of the campaign, to be honest. Yang explained on CNN that he sees Biden as the nominee now and that the party needs to unite. Yang has said from the start that he will support the Democratic nominee when it comes time to unite against Trump, and he had been saying days in advance of Warren dropping out that her endorsement, or lack thereof, would be what determined Bernie's chances in his eyes. Since then, Warren has declined to endorse Bernie, which in addition to the incredible rally around Biden and Super Tuesday and Biden's continued outperformance through this Tuesday, is what I believe triggered Yang to determine that Bernie's path forward to the nomination has been severed. Yang has also expressed before that a contested convention, which is all we could get at this point, would be ugly for the party. I definitely don't think this is Yang expressing a preference of candidate. It's just him keeping his word on supporting the eventual nominee, which he now believes has been all but determined. That said, I have reservations about the move. A lot of burners are not going to be interested in the reasoning and are just going to take this very poorly, and I worry about the impact that will have in 2024, whether deserved or not. Yang also mentioned that Joe has been very receptive to Yang's lessons on the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I have to imagine one of the factors of the endorsement is that Yang wants to be well-positioned to modernize the Democratic Party through influencing their nominee, which he now sees Joe as being. Still, I don't know if Joe is capable of adapting, and I think his chances in the general are very low. I can't help but wonder if it would have been better to just remain neutral on this. But Yang seems to usually be proven right in the end, so I guess we'll see. We have a new UBI caucus member in Nevada. Welcome Rick Shepard to the flock. Some of his notable policies are UBI, ranked choice voting, single-payer M4A, $15 minimum wage, increased Social Security benefits, increased vocational education, decriminalizing weed, ending wars abroad, ending fossil fuel subsidies, investing in green energy and thorium reactors, and many, many more. As with our last new member, Shepard's UBI is significantly different from Yang's, though he wants it for the same reasons. He supports a $2,000 per month UBI to replace all welfare programs. He also wants the UBI to be progressively taxed back for those earning over $48,000 per year or $4,000 per month, such that earners making $48,000 per year would still get the full UBI benefit, but taxes would begin clawing back progressively more as income increases from there, up to the entire UBI being reclaimed for those earning $100,000 annually. He decided on this based on research showing that annual income over $72,000 per individual has diminishing returns on quality of life. I'm not personally familiar enough with welfare benefits to know if $2,000 a month makes up for the removal of all programs, though I doubt it. That said, the simplicity of the approach certainly is appealing, and it is the logical endpoint of UBI, in my opinion. It just may be that the amount requires some tweaking. I think Yang sees it eventually going this direction as well, but considers UBI more likely to succeed if introduced in stages, first replacing only cash grant welfare programs at $1,000 a month, and eventually increasing the amount to replace the rest. It only makes sense given that UBI has all the benefits of welfare programs without all of the problems. The progressive taxation has both benefits and drawbacks in saving money, but reintroducing some of the inevitable issues that come with means testing. On the topic of UBI, a new article from Fast Company reviewed some findings from various UBI trials with results I had not heard before. It mentioned that the trial in Finland saw a decrease in depression of 37%, as well as the Ontario result of 88% reduction in stress, 47% reduction in feeling marginalized, and dramatically higher access to food and housing. The main focus of the article, however, was the 2011 to 2013 trial in Kenya, where the chief finding was a decline of 51% in physical violence against women and 66% decline in sexual violence due to reduced financial stress and reduced reliance of women on men. In fact, it even found a smaller decrease of domestic violence in surrounding households, which were not receiving the UBI. This is one of the chief reasons that many believe UBI to be the most feminist policy on the table. Finally, Mike Breuer made an appearance on the Mindful Skeptics podcast, as well as on Paget Kagi and Nerds for Yangs channels. If you're a fan of those shows or want to hear more from Mike, who is Scott Santon's favorite to beat Mitch McConnell, you know where to go. But wait, there's more. A petition has been started to get Humanity Forward to officially endorse Mike Breuer. If you support Mike, please add your name to the petition in the links below. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Look into Rick Shepard and consider supporting him. Check out Mike Breuer's interviews on Mindful Skeptics, Paget Kagi, and Nerds for Yang. Sign the petition to endorse him. But first and foremost, contact your congressperson, tweet at Trump, sign the petition, and do whatever else you can to get UBI stimulus into the Senate. We cannot pass up this opportunity. And as always, don't forget to Yang Daily.